Jordana here. Paul is on vacation. Susan and I are in studio. Dan is off as well, keeping an eye on what's going on in Aurora, Illinois, after we're hearing about a shooting there. The national news says that the shooter has been apprehended. A witness says there were shots being fired everywhere. Report that multiple victims are being airlifted outside of the site of the shooting in Aurora, Illinois. There are reports that civilians have been shot. We're not sure what kind of complex it is. There are large FedEx trucks parked outside this complex. We will bring you the latest as we know more. Keep it tuned here to WCCO Radio. We'll have top and bottom of the hour updates as more news comes in about the shooting in Aurora, Illinois. I texted John Williams right before the show, and I said, you know, give me some frame of reference about this because I don't know a lot about Illinois. I never lived in Chicago. And he said, when you think Aurora to Chicago, think Shakopee to Minneapolis. So it is a suburb of Illinois. This looks like it's in an industrial area where the shooting happened. And we will be keeping you up to date on the very latest and praying here quietly in the studio and hopefully at home for anybody involved in that shooting. Lots of big stories today to get to. Yes, national state of emergency. Or is it really? And what happens now? We're going to have Tim Lammers for you, lighten things up at 3:20. What's happening in theaters? At 3:35, we're going to talk with a local woman, Lene Peterson, about a video game program that was created here locally to help kids with ADD, ADHD, and autism. Really cool stuff. And I know you talked a little bit with Shaletta and Chad about the jeans at Target. So no more khakis or the option to not always wear khakis when you're at Target. So we'll talk a little bit about dress codes later on in the hour. As for this national state of emergency, yes, the president has declared a national emergency in order to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, the Constitution does not give the president unfettered authority to spend whatever federal funds he wants, but he does have the right to declare a national emergency if it is truly an emergency. What happens now, of course, is that the Democrats are going to use whatever powers they legally have to call this a non-emergency and block it in the courts. Here today is Nancy Pelosi on the calling of the national emergency.
The president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey.
Again, Nancy seems to believe, no emergency. I'm in her camp. You knew that because we talked yesterday. I don't think that this rises to the level of an emergency because immigration is at an all-time low, lowest it has been the last 18 years, I believe. Yes, 19 years, I believe. And if it was such an emergency, why didn't you declare it the minute you got into office if this was such an emergency? On the other hand, you do have some Senate Republicans that are willing to go along with the president. Here now is Mitch McConnell.
I've just had an opportunity to speak with President Trump, and he, I would say to all my colleagues, has indicated he's prepared to sign the bill. He will also be issuing a national emergency declaration at the same time. And I've indicated to him that I'm going to support the national emergency declaration.
A lot of enthusiasm in his voice there. Mitch McConnell. I don't know that Mitch ever gets real riled up about a lot of stuff, maybe when he's fighting with John Dickerson on Face the Nation sometimes. But he, not so convincing, Mitch. But hey, okay, if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. It's your party. The president is in command. It's a Republican president. So Mitch says he's going to go along with it. Me, I don't think it's an emergency. You can build whatever wall you got, use the $1.3 billion that they gave you, go get some more. It is not necessary that we declare a state of emergency. I think he should just be done with this, move on, tell his base he tried his best, and move forward from there. His base isn't going anywhere. Believe me, he will somehow spin that he's built more of the wall, and with the $1.3 billion, you'll get more wall. so he can take pictures of it, put signage on it, sell marketing for it, like NASCAR. It could be the NASCAR Trump wall, whatever it is. Don't worry. Your base will believe whatever you say. So tell them you built the wall and it only cost the $1.3 billion and everything's going to be fine. But don't drag the rest of us into this national emergency stuff. In fact, your party is the one who is going to have to reap what you have sown, because the next president might have a different value system and willy-nilly call a national emergency for something as, maybe like climate change, or something that you might not agree with, or that other members of a different party might not agree with. So me, politically, I think it's a bad move. I think it's going to come bite him in the – well, not, maybe not him, but it's going to come bite whoever is in favor of it back in the butt when it does change hands. As you know, power in this country always changes hands, and thankfully so. Just a little bit of background on this. The White House says Trump plans to use the $3.6 billion in military construction money for his wall. Now, potentially he can do that on account of the 1982 Military Construction Codification Act. Yes, I sort of looked into this, which says that when the president declares a national emergency that requires the use of the armed forces, as I guess he feels this does, the defense secretary may use available military construction funds to undertake military construction projects. So that means the military would go build it. So we're building it, we're paying for it, and Mexico is not. By the way, they are not authorized under law, not otherwise, funds that are not authorized under law that are necessary to support such use of the armed forces. So you wouldn't necessarily be taking away from our armed forces. They're just other funds that are available. The Trump administration will argue the wall is necessary to support the 6,000 active duty troops that are now on the southern border. And then, of course, the administration does plan to supplement the military construction money with smaller amounts from other sources that aren't necessarily linked to the national emergency. But, defense alone has a $700 billion budget. So there's plenty of money out there. So are we going to see a bill from some Congress people that want to get rid of national emergencies? I don't necessarily think that's the way to go, but we certainly might see some restrictions of power on that if this plays out. And we asked the governor yesterday, Governor Tim Walz was on our show yesterday, and we asked him how this would play out for Minnesotans. And he says, Jordana, it remains to be seen. We're not on the southern border. Yes, we're on the northern border, but he said it remains to be seen. He said, we have an infrastructure bill coming out next week, that is, it requires federal funds. He said, if they try to touch the federal funds to build the wall, we're going to hear about it. So your governor is watching it. We're watching it. We'll keep you posted. It's also 3:17. Tim Lammers. Yes, don't you want to talk about movies? I don't want to talk about walls, except maybe walls of movie theaters that create that environment where you can escape from reality for at least about 2 hours. Tim Lammers is going to be joining us with what is out this weekend in theaters and what is streaming. That's next on CCO.
I think I might be going crazy.
I hit my head really hard and I woke up in this alternate universe.
And now I have a gay sidekick. This is setting gay rides back like 100 years.
I love working the legs.
Jesus! And guys looking me in the eyes.
You're quite beguiling, aren't you?
Are you feeling what I'm feeling?
No!
Oh my God.
I think I'm trapped in a... My life's become a mother... romantic comedy! And it's PG-13!
Oh, I want to love this movie so much. Tim Lammers is going to tell me if I should waste my money. Tim's movie picks are brought to us, as always, by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim, love it or no?
Well, when I do that, yeah. Hi, Jordana.
Hi, Tim.
Look, I love Rebel Wilson. Yes. I think if you're a Rebel Wilson fan... And if you loved her in Pitch Perfect, of course, Adam Devine was in that as well. Very funny actor. Uh-huh. I think you'll like this movie.
Okay.
It's not perfect. It's basically a romantic comedy about somebody trapped inside of a romantic comedy movie. And, it works for Valentine's Day weekend, I think.
Sure. I do love Rebel Wilson, and sometimes you just want to go and laugh and feel good and know that you're not going to be depressed or scared or have to, see your therapist after you go to the movies.
Well, look, it's funny, and it's lame at times. I mean, look, I have to be honest with you. I mean, there's just some comedy that doesn't work in the thing. Mm-hmm. But you also have to test, you know, the temperature of the audience and see how they're reacting. And the audience was reacting very favorably to this movie. So it just could be that I'm, you know, it wasn't my night or something. I don't know. But, you know, again, it's good. It's not great, but... You know, it's tough to do, and for any romantic comedy to succeed, and especially when you have classics like Pretty Woman out there, which they reference in this film. I mean, that's like the standard, that's the benchmark. And so this woman who lands in this alternate reality after bumping her head, Rebel Wilson, is the pretty woman in this case. But before that, she felt invisible. So she doesn't know how to react to this strange new world that she's in. So I think that they put some work into this, some interesting thought into this. And again, I think it really hinges on whether you like the people in it or not. And how could you not like Rebel Wilson?
Well, I love her. And it was great to see her in a lead role, because usually she is, you know, the overweight sidekick. Like Pitch Perfect. I mean, I guess she had one of the lead roles in Pitch Perfect. She was hilarious, but not the
right,
lead.
Right, right.
But
yeah, this is her film. I mean, there's no question about it, and I think she can handle it. And I think it was smart having somebody she clearly has chemistry with Adam Devine. Mm-hmm. You also have Liam Hemsworth. This is Chris Hemsworth's younger brother. In the film.
Is he married to Miley Cyrus? Is that who he's married?
Apparently they are now.
Okay, yeah.
You know, because they've been together a long time, those crazy kids. And I have to admit, I haven't been crazy about Liam Hemsworth in films, but here he lets it loose. And he plays sort of a dumbbell, you know, a good-looking guy that... He falls into all the stereotypes of the good-looking guy in these romantic comedies, and I think he does pretty well.
I love that they picked Rebel, too, because she's not your typical, you know, Anne Hathaway or Julia Roberts. She's not your perfectly curated woman, you know, who looks perfect. I love that she is, you know, she's overweight. She's clumsy at times. I mean, she looks good in this movie. You know, they dress her up in that part. But I love that you have a woman of a bigger size as a main role model. I love that.
Yeah, and I want this movie to be successful. I love her. I think that she deserves to have more lead roles. And hopefully this is the start of that.
Yeah. Next up, you have streaming. Oh, this is a fun one. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Wake up!
With you.
Start churning butter and put on your church shoes, little sister, because we're about to blast off.
Ralph, what is it you're trying to say?
We're going to the internet.
Ralph breaks the internet.
Shouldn't it be Ralph wrecks the internet?
Yeah, since he is Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, but break the internet, it's like a thing.
Right, it's just wreck the internet kind of sounds better, doesn't it?
You're not wrong.
What do you think?
Oh, I loved it. It's one of these tough situations where you have a sequel to a film that's already great, which was Wreck-It Ralph, which I believe was 2014. It's been a while since that original film. So they took their time to get a sequel that forwards the story. It's not stuck in the 8-bit arcade where that original took place. It was a brilliant original. So they took it and put these characters, Ralph, voiced by John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman did Vanellope von Schweetz. They put them in upstream on the internet, you know, where websites come to life, applications come to life, and it's very clever and a lot of fun. And it has some poignant moments, too. It has everything.
Sarah Silverman, I'm just Googling it now. Did she get herself in trouble with Megyn Kelly? Did they get in a Twitter war?
I don't know.
Yeah, Sarah Silverman got in a Twitter war with Megyn Kelly this year. She tweeted something vulgar about a President Trump, and then Megyn Kelly slapped back, and Sarah Silverman came
in. It's not going to do her any good when it comes to trying to get publicity for the movie. Is all publicity good publicity? I don't know.
You never know. It was a few days ago, and you never heard about it, so whatever. I guess it wasn't that big of a blip anyway. I did see this. I took the kids to see this in the theater, and I liked it. I thought it went a little awry at the end when the big monster was there. I understand they were trying to do like a metaphor about the ego and your friends and all of this stuff, but it went a little bit off the rails for me.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, they tried to, prove some points in it. I think one thing that they were very effective, though, was when they went into the social media area and showed all the vitriol in that area against Wreck-It Ralph. I think that's something for kids that was very important to see without being preachy.
It was excellent.
You know, and that's one of the poignant moments, I guess you could say, that I am alluding to.
And the pop-ups, too, how the internet uses pop-ups to kind of drag you out, and they're never what they say they're going to be.
Yeah, very clever. And again, I have to point out, because he is nominated for an Oscar, Phil Johnston from Minnesota, former CARE 11 reporter who went into to filmmaking school after he left CARE, you know, is nominated along with Rich Moore for this, for the Best Animated Feature Oscar. So, you know, good on him. I'm really glad. It's always great to see the local folks represented at the Oscars, along with the Coen brothers. They got a screenplay nomination. So, yeah.
For what? Do you have any idea what that's, is something we've seen?
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. It's on...
I tried to watch that. Could not get through it.
Netflix. Yeah, well, you know, the Academy loves the Coens, as you know. They've won a couple times.
Yeah.
So, they were nominated for Best Original Screenplay for that.
I always feel like I'm not smart when I watch those movies, and I just get it.
Well, it can be challenging sometimes, but you know what? In addition to losing your mind and escaping, you know, which movies really should be about, I like to be challenged at times, too, especially when you see the same sort of movie coming out over and over and over again. But, you know, the Coens, they're all over the place, and I like that. They don't stick in the one genre.
For sure.
You know, they touch the Western genre here, as they did with True Grit. So, you know, I like that sort of stuff.
I tried to watch Roma.
Nah.
I couldn't get through it. It was just so boring. And you said it's going to win Best Picture.
Yeah, and I have to point out, because I'm predicting it well, doesn't mean that I like the film. I feel exactly the same way. One of the most overrated movies of the year.
Oy.
And you wonder, what is it about these films that captures the imagination of awards voters? I just don't get it. Again, yes, it is beautifully shot. I mean, it's in black and white. It's
Whatever.
Very unique. But the story, I mean, yeah, you're right. It just... paint dry stuff, you know?
I feel bad for Handsome Husband because I make him watch all these movies with me. And he's like, really? You know, and I haven't even tried The Favorite yet. He's going to fall asleep during that one, I'm sure.
Well, that is also on my overrated list of 2018.
Although
along
maybe
with Roma.
I can say, hey, there's lesbianism in it, and that might pique his interest a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, it toys with historical fact, Favorite does.
I won't pitch that part of it. But, Tim, you're the best. Thank you for joining us today, and thanks for the heads up on Isn't It Romantic?
Thank you, Jordana. Have a great weekend.
Tim Lammer's movie picks are brought to us, as always, by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Jordana Green here, 3:34. We are keeping our eyes on those stories about the active shooter in Illinois, and we will return, of course, to the national emergency and, you know, what you can wear at Target if you're a worker there. Khakis, jeans, jams, shorts now, all of that still ahead on the show. A very cool press release crossed my desk the other day. It was an email from Lene Peterson, my next guest. And she said, you know, Joe, I thought you might want to talk about what a Minnetonka-based company is doing to help kids with learning disabilities. It's a video game that helps kids with ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, autism, the whole shebang. And you know what? Lene was 100% right, because I want to know all about that. And she's joining me now to share it with all of us. Lene, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Georgiana. Thanks for having me.
Boy, I thought video games were all, you know, blood and gore and hose and shooting, and this sounds very promising.
It definitely is, and our kids that are playing Brainiac are loving it.
All right,
They're
tell us what it does. What does Brainiac do?
So Brainiac is an Xbox-style game, and what it does is it takes kids through a series of about 14 different exercises. And while they're playing those exercises, little do they know that it's strategically targeting the child's balance, their gravity, their gross fine motor skills, rhythm and timing. And really what we're trying to do is drive neuroplasticity changes with these kids that have these imbalances.
Okay, so imbalances, you mean physical imbalances? Like they're off, sorry for my ignorance, but like vertigo?
No, it has more to do with weaknesses within their brain.
Okay.
Many kids have an imbalance. They're either right side dominant or left side dominant. And so our game takes them through an assessment, and it makes a determination if they're left brain weak or right brain weak. And driving those neuroplasticity changes really targets and provides them with opportunities to enhance and improve that side of their brain, if that makes sense.
So these are kids that have already been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD or autism, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So you can target which part of their brain is maybe acting up or giving them the problem. And then what kind of game are they playing exactly? Are we talking fine motor skill games like Pong, or are they, you know, are they shoot 'em up games? What kind of games?
No, there are actually a number of different games. We have a game called Dance that uses a dance mat, very similar to like Dance Dance Revolution.
Sure, sure, fun.
And while they're playing that game, they're taking in the input from the computer. It's activated by a Kinect sensor, similar to an Xbox. So it's actually able to read the child's movement and provide them with instantaneous feedback. So the dance game is excellent. They love it. They love moving around.
Yeah.
It gets that, you know, motion and gets them moving. We have a memory recall game where they're given a series of digits that then disappear and they have to recall the digits that they've seen.
Okay.
And then we have another variety of other games that really work both their fine motor skills. They're playing a piano in the air and having to use their fingers to get the piano key to activate and play a sound. Or they might be playing a game called Shoot the Object, where they're squishing bugs in the air. So it's really a variety of different games to keep them engaged, motivated, and excited.
And this helps them. It improves their conditions. I mean, is this a treatment? Are you saying that a dyslexic kid might be able to order the letters and the numbers better, or you know, an autistic kid might have some improvement in their condition?
Yes, absolutely. So having the game drive those neuroplasticity changes, basically we're trying to create and repair damaged neural pathways in the brain. And so through these exercises, by playing continuous, repetitious play 2 to 3 times a week, we're seeing fantastic results. We're seeing autistic kids that are able to speak. We're seeing ADHD kids being able to self-regulate, focus in the classroom, do their homework at home. Dyslexic kids were able to see a better reading comprehension, advancements in reading levels. It's just fantastic, and we're seeing really great momentum. And for us, in starting the company, it was really all about providing families hope. So many of these families have tried kind of traditional therapies, occupational therapy, vestibular therapy, vision therapy. And we're taking those proven established protocols, and we've just repackaged it and applied new concepts in a different way that promotes movement. So the kids are engaged, the parents are thrilled, and like I mentioned, we're just seeing fantastic results.
That's incredible. If you have a question for Lene, give a call, 651-989-9226. I love how you mentioned how it was created, because I want to get to that. Dolly Lowry is a mom from Minnetonka. You write, she spent over 10 years taking her son to thousands of appointments to treat his severe dyslexia. So did she create, is she a computer programmer? Did she create these games?
Actually, interestingly enough, Dolly had a strong IT background. So as she was taking her son to all of these clinic visits, you know, she just kept thinking, gosh, there's got to be a better way.
Right.
You know, there's got to be a way for families to find a solution that's affordable, effective, convenient. So with her IT background, she started doing research and came across a doctor by the name of Dr. Nelson Monnier.
Mm-hmm.
He's a chiropractic neurologist out of Tampa, Florida, and he specialized in neurobehavioral and vestibular disorders. He saw a lot of kids with autism in his clinic, and so together they partnered, and that's what led to the development of Brainiac. So he took kind of his clinical practical experiences, and with Dolly's technical background, they'd created Brainiac, the game that's driving all these great changes.
How long have you guys been in business?
We actually were created about 5 years ago, and prior to that, Dolly was doing all of this research. So we've been around since 2014.
And the games are available to everybody, right? It's not through a specific doctor or a school.
Well, the way that we are working our program is we have a center in Minnetonka, and we unveiled that to the public last spring called Planet Brainiac. So kids as ages 6 to 15 would come into the center, they'd complete an assessment, and then we would guide them through the program. They'd purchase 40 sessions, and during that time, they'd take the three assessments. And we had such great momentum and success with the Minnetonka facility, we wanted to make sure that other families would also have the same opportunity, you know, homeschoolers, mm-hmm. families outside of the metro area. So this spring, we're launching the home market of Brainiac so that we can continue to help families who, you know, are looking for alternative solutions.
Marie is in Minnetonka. She's got a question for you, Lene. Hi, Marie.
Hi, I'm just wondering if it's only been out about 5 years, what are you guys seeing as far as the lasting effects of participating in this program?
Good question, Marie.
Question. We actually did a number of pilot studies. We had a partnership with Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, as well as a pilot in here in Minnesota at OT clinic, as well as a specialty school, Guiding Light Academy in Chicago. And so based on all of those pilots that we did, we retested the kids that have played Brainiac, mm-hmm. and the neurological changes have definitely stuck. We've had the kids back in to do assessments. The families are still reporting great results. There's no, you know, negative effect. There's no loss of what they've gained. So we're very, very excited that these changes continue to stay in place.
So even after a child stops treatment, the positive effects remain?
It is. Yep. Once those neural pathways are connected, they stay.
Wow. This is extraordinary. So I'm shocked this isn't being used on a national level, because we are seeing so many kids with ADHD, ADD, autism, dyslexia for sure. Is that the plan, or are there other programs like this?
No, absolutely. That is the plan. We definitely recognize the growing numbers mm-hmm. and the concerns. I mean, it just continues to increase year after year, and we knew there had to be a better solution. Mm-hmm. And so there are other products that are similar, I'll say, but what's different about Brainiac is we use the entire body. So we start at the base right. and we work all the way up to the top of your head or your brain. And the muscles and the bones are really the largest input system into the brain. So we get the greatest impact by using the full body. And that's what differentiates us from others, is that we use the full body and we use that motion, and that's what drives those neuroplasticity changes.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Lene Peterson. She is with Brainiac. We're talking about the CEO. Now, are you one of the founders, Lene?
I am not. Oh, no, okay. I joined the company about a year ago, okay. Had similar situation with my own family personally. And when I heard and found out about the company Canoe and the great changes that they were making with Brainiac, I thought, I got to do this. This is exactly what I've been looking for. And, you know, having it touch me personally, it really made sense for me to make a change.
Well, if I'm not overstepping, how did it work in your family? What were the results?
Well, my daughter has ADHD and dysgraphia and depression. And actually, the game was great for her. I think what we found is that as a family, you have to evaluate what's going to work best for you. That's why we're offering two different models. To come into the center, you have the opportunity as a parent to bring your child into therapy. They are paired with a Brainiac coach who really is there to motivate them, get excited, make sure that they're performing the exercises correctly. In the home model, you have to be a very dedicated, committed family who's going to have the time and the effort put into making sure that your child plays 2 to 3 times a week. So while it worked great for my daughter, we found that for us, it was better to have her being coached, if you will, by someone outside of mom and dad.
I had enough
where, you know, hey, let's do your homework, let's do this and that. And it just worked far better to have her paired with someone outside of mom and dad.
How long is the treatment?
You know, most kids, we recommend 4 months. But we do suggest 8 months. It really is individualized based on kind of what the issues are that that child's experiencing. Well, but 4 is what's recommended, 3 to 4 times a week.
Okay, this is, it's just fantastic. So I'm already sharing it with a few friends that I think that, I've already shared it with a few friends that I think it might benefit them. Where and when can we find, where can we get some more information, Lene?
Absolutely. We'd love to have you visit our website, KNUU.com, and KNUU is spelled K-I-N-U-U. We're also going to be publicizing a number of informational seminars, the first one being in Minnetonka, the Minnetonka Community Center, on Wednesday, March 13th. And we found these seminars to be a really successful way to have families come in, learn about the program, the science behind it, and actually see a game demo.
Is it expensive?
You know, relatively speaking, we don't think so. For the center program, it's $19.95. Mm-hmm. And the home program that we'll be launching this spring will be $29.95, but that's including the equipment rental. You see, these families that will want to play out of their home, they're going to get an all-in-one computer, which is touchscreen, and then the Kinect camera, as well as some of the accompanying pieces like the dance mat and earbuds for some of the dichotic listening exercises.
KNUU.com, KINUU.com. Lene, it was so great to talk with you today. I'm so glad that something like this exists because we hear about it so much with our kids, and parents off more and more, you know, don't want their kids on medication. They'd like other options for treatment, and how exciting that it's here locally.
Thank you. We're also very excited. Our whole goal is to really give families hope, and we found that this product is definitely delivering that hope to these families. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Thank you, Lene. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Jordana Green here. Paul is on vacay. A little time spent with Lori, getting some sun, hopefully, although he told me it was raining in Palm Springs today. He sent me a picture. He's like, only I could bring rain to the desert. Too bad for Paul. Let's talk clothes. I love clothes. I do. I call my style, as Susan knows, Radio Fabulous. You don't get to see it. Nobody gets to see it except Susan. But I try to bring it every day. I wear sequin pants. I wear colorful clothes. I love clothes. I love fashion.
The bling.
The bling. I love the bling. So Target employees, okay, maybe they don't get to bring it, but now they are getting the opportunity, or the freedom, as they would say, the freedom to wear jeans. Khakis are out, jeans are in. They announced yesterday they can now wear blue jeans to work, which expands an employee's wardrobe beyond the company's signature red shirt and khaki look. The change has been embraced by Target employees all over the place. One of the employees said, I love the freedom of being able to wear jeans. I'm nostalgic, so I won't wear jeans all the time, but I will. It's more comfortable. They feel good about it. They say Target says a lot of other companies are doing it now. So we are on board. Now, I think this is fantastic. I think the Target employees should wear what they want to wear. I mean, you know, with the red shirt, so I know who I'm going to, and I'll remember never to wear a red shirt to Target. But if they're going to be like the super tight ripped jeans that my kid wears that I can't stand, I think that I would rather not see that. So I don't know if there are restrictions. It doesn't say in the article if there are restrictions on the jeans at all. But a nice crisp pair of blue jeans is wonderful and comfortable, as long as, you know, they don't have maybe the rips and the chains. And I have some jeans with a lot of bling on it. Maybe that would be out of bounds. Now, Susan, you have a second job out of this office. Do you get to wear jeans at your second job?
Yes. Well, I had a second job. I did seasonal work at Costco.
Costco.
And they allow you to wear jeans. However, they say no holes, no rips, no tears. They have to be, you know, just normal looking, discreet jeans, just blue jeans.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's not a problem.
Susan's wearing a lovely pair of blue jeans today, and I think that's great. I'm wearing leather and blue jeans, so those probably wouldn't be allowed, maybe at Costco or at Target, but thankfully CCO Radio allows me to wear them today. If you're a Target employee, I want to hear about this. Is this like a huge shift in your collective consciousness, or are you like, meh, it's just jeans? I think it's great that we have a little more freedom now. And people who get jobs at Target, you're making minimum wage, especially if you are, you know, maybe in the warehouse. So if you're making minimum wage, I wouldn't want to have to go out and buy a couple of pairs of khakis to have for every day.
I agree. I agree with that. It's just easier. And pretty much everybody has jeans in their closet.
Yeah. So hopefully it won't be too much of a switch, and you'll happily see folks wearing jeans at Target. It is funny how what we wear during the day makes us feel a certain way. And I wonder if this is an—I mean, according to the employee that was quoted in the article, you know, it said it would give her a little boost. She was thrilled to be able to wear them. And I want to make a note, by the way, anyone who did wear or did read the Star Tribune article, it was written by a University of Minnesota student who was on assignment for the Star Tribune. A little shout out there to the interns of Minnesota, all the interns working in a newsroom for free. I used to be that intern working for free. I was, I guess, a part-time or almost a full employee working for $5 an hour. And yes, that was below minimum wage at the time. Emma Dill is a University of Minnesota student on assignment for the Star Tribune. So, Emma, you keep doing that. We're talking about your story on the air today, Emma. So you keep writing those stories for the Star Tribune. Isn't that great?
That is great.
So your daughter's a writer. She would want to be able to get a little shout out on the radio.
Yeah, she would love that.
All right, Moni, can't wait to read what you're writing. We'll do that. So talk a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour more about dress codes, if you have them at work, if they're oppressive, if this is a good thing, or is this a slippery slope? Am I going to be seeing, you know, like lower butt cheek coming out of somebody's ripped jean that they're wearing at Target? I don't know either way. When we get back, Gail Rosenblum, so excited to talk to her and have her in studio. Gail Rosenblum is the Inspired section editor from the Star Tribune. She's got a great gig. Her gig is to aggregate the positive stories in Minnesota and around the world and put them in the Inspired section. It publishes every Saturday, and it's what we claim we all want, the positive news, the good stories, the uplifting stuff. So she is going to share her favorite of the week and tell us what is coming up in the Inspired column tomorrow. We'll be back with that at 4:10 right here on CCO. By the fire, all alone.